Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being in this room right now, in this place. We invite you here. We invite you into our hearts. Lord, I don't want to think my thoughts. I want to think your thoughts. I want to share the message that you have for the men here today. God, you are so good and you are so faithful, and your scandalous love and grace is so sweet and so beautiful. And we're just so thankful that you have bestowed that upon us by sending your Son. Help us to learn new tools to structure our lives in a way where we can gain and retain our sexual integrity so that we can teach other men to not be shame stapled to the pews any longer. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are a ministry called Proven Men Ministries. The title of this is The Price of Freedom is Eternal Vigilance. And that simply means that the price of freedom means you never get lazy. You never relax. You never think you've arrived. Because this side of glory, you never have arrived. You are constantly pursuing and going further into your salvation and into your walk. And you must always be on guard. So at this time, I'm going to introduce a really good buddy of mine, David, and he's going to give a quick testimony. And this is good for you men because he's been through our ministry, been through our curriculum. And so it's a really good firsthand perspective. And David, you're up.
My name is David. I've been fighting with purity since I was about 6 years old. First time I dealt with it was in kindergarten. Some girls and I would go behind the schoolhouse and play doctor. Show me yours, I'll show you mine. Well, I kept trying to find that from then on and on. Well, when I was 7, my mom married my ex-stepfather. He was very abusive to me. Beat me physically and mentally abused me for about 7 years. When I turned around 11 years old, he got a computer. Everybody had a computer. Had a computer. Old dial-up internet. Well, what he's messed up doing is he got the yellow pages for this the internet. Showed every site you could possibly imagine. Me being 11 years old, I'm like, I wonder what's on here. Porn. Said, don't do it. What's 11-year-old going to do when you tell him not to do something? Automatically going to do it. That's when I started looking at websites. Start masturbating once a day, every day. Got into about 13, started watching movies that he hid, that I found. Start doing that. Got into it, got really into it. Moved away from that bad situation to a situation and moved in with my dad. A couple years, he had Cinemax. Cinemax has late night specials. Watched those. Did not help one bit. Got another computer. Got the internet. Well, I knew where all the sites were. I knew what to type in Google or Yahoo at the time. So, started looking there. Got in really, really deep. Graduated high school when I was 19 years old. Got a girlfriend when I was 20. Had that relation off and on for almost 3 years. She had a 4-year-old daughter. Being an abuser, you become abuser if you're not in God. Got it. started abusing her and got out of that relationship. Found my wife a year later. Started dating her, got in the Army. Went through basic training. She was there with me the whole time. We got married a year after we met. Long distance relationship. I was in Colorado. She was in here in Virginia. Got married. Really didn't know each other. I had expectations. Hey, after I get married, this porn situation will go away. That's what most guys think. I have it, so I don't need to look at it. It never went away. It just got worse. Went through counselors about me being abusing, and they're like, hey, you need to fight this problem that you're having looking at porn. Like, all right, I wiped it away for about 6 months on my own. Never looked at it. Like, I'm free. Yeah. Deb's like, no, you're not free. Got back into it. I was trying to have a kid from the time we were married to a year and a half ago. Always wanted a child of my own. I was sitting about 2014, August. I was actively looking for somebody else. Actively looking for somebody. I was done with my marriage. I wasn't getting what I needed from my wife, what I thought I needed from my wife. I had one foot on a banana peel, the other foot outside the door on a piece of ice. We talked, we got set our marriage back on track, but I still actively looking for somebody else. I didn't know if I wanted to be in this marriage or not. Almost 2 years ago, I was sitting where you were. Rico, Mark Lamb, and David, I forget what his name was up here. David threw this book at 90 miles an hour across the room. No lie. Got everybody's attention really quick. Still remember that. I'm like, all right, I want to do this study. I really want to do this study. So I called Rico up, got his name and number from the conference, called him up, hey, I want to do this study. All right, so I started doing the study with Rico. Started in December, 1st of December. February, end of February, sorry, I tear up on this one. My wife tells me she's pregnant. I wanted a kid for 6 years, and I think the only reason why God didn't give me a child before that is I wanted clean. I had to fix myself before I could bring somebody else into the world. This study helped me get better. Am I clear? No. Do I fight every day with the addiction? Yes. A proven man is not about being free. It's about when you fall, pulling yourself back up and fighting forward.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. That was so beautiful. And I can't follow that with anything. That communicated to you the power of the study. And to be honest, it all started with footsie. I just asked my wife's best friend to sleep with me. Thank God she said no. What if she had said yes? Pastor, what am I going to do? On his 7th wedding anniversary, that was where our founder found himself 15 years ago. The secret sin had been in his life for so long, he could not remember a time without it. It was his drug of choice. It was sexual fantasy. Why is it important and why is it unique? Because his drug of choice was sexual fantasy. It wasn't a screen. It wasn't a magazine. It was the lust of the eyes. He was looking on another woman and committing adultery before God. He sat down and tallied in that moment how many sexual fantasies he had entertained in his brain, and he stopped at 1 million based on the women he encountered in his office, the women running down the street, the women he met on the metro in D.C. He was averaging 5 to 6 women a day, sexually fantasizing about them while being married and plugged into his church, living a double life. And he finds himself staring his wife in the eyes, and he told her everything. He told her he had literally just that day asked her best friend to go to bed with him. And she didn't leave, because she understood the foundational principle around all of this. And it's not that it was a he problem, it was a we problem. And in that moment, Teresa walked alongside of Joel in his journey to gain and retain his sexual integrity. He doesn't even count the first 7 years of his marriage when he tells you how long he's been married, because for so long he was living a double life. And the steps that he took and what happened next are the originations of our ministry based in and around the beauty of the transformation of the Holy Spirit that happened in his life. So he goes on this path and he says, I am chucking all of my TVs and I'm not going to have any TV service for the next year. I'm done going to the gym for a whole year. I'm not going to be able to walk in the mall with my wife when she walks past Victoria's Secret. And he was aggressive. He was done, and he was willing to do whatever it took, and he said enough was enough. And I know that I can resonate with what that's like for my personal testimony and my personal story. And I know that each and every one of you in here, at least 99% of you, understand what that's like. And understand that you get knocked down, you get back up, and maybe most of your young life was spent saying, God, I don't want to do this, why do I keep doing this? On any level, whether it's viewing a woman, whether it's struggling with a screen based on your age and what generation you fall into, you know, my generation was the first generation to grow up on free porn. Completely unhindered, easy access. Some of the gentlemen in this room, you had to go one step further to find it. And now you're in a generation of free porn. So the next thing that happened is Joel sits down with his pastor and he says, what am I going to do? Where do I go from here? My wife hasn't left me, but it hasn't gone away. Everything is still here. So he goes and he buries his head in the ground and in scripture. And he says, God, we're going to do some deep heart work. Forget the low-hanging fruits. Forget the let me set up some guardrails. Like, I got to get serious about this. And through the next 3 to 4 years, the Lord reconstructed Joel's heart to the point where 4 years later, the same church that he's still been a part of in this whole process asks him to be an elder. Now, is that not a beautiful story of grace? Is that not the best story of grace? And so many of us men can relate to that. Guys, do you remember the elephant? It used to be called the elephant in the room, elephant in the pew, elephant in the school. It was this massive thing floating around that no one wanted to talk about and no one wanted to acknowledge. Guess what happened? It's no longer an elephant, it became a lion. And it's devouring the men in our church. It's not just about porn, it's about sexual integrity. Everybody go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. We're just going to read one verse, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Did you know that there is not a single instance anywhere in this book of Scripture where any man has ever been commanded to withstand temptation, sexual temptation? Never was it said, you can bear up under this. Grit your teeth really hard. Every commandment around sexual sin in the Bible, you are commanded to flee. You are commanded to get out as fast as you could. Even Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis. Can you imagine yourself in that scenario? Like, truly, can you imagine you are at the top of the top, and I guarantee you Potiphar's wife was not ugly because he was at the top of the top. And she is throwing herself at him in his lowest and weakest vulnerable moments. And the flesh inside of us just starts going. But Joseph says, and go ahead and turn to Genesis 39, smartphone or real Bible, whichever one. We're going to read 39, verse 9. Actually, we'll just start at half of verse 6. I'll read the context. Context is important. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And after a time, his master's wife cast her eyes on Joseph and said, lie with me. But he refused and said to his master's wife, behold, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in his house, and he has put everything that he has in my charge. He is not greater in this house than I am, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph's motivation in that moment was eternal. His very first thought was, how can I commit this sin against you, God? I can't entertain this thought. It's not a sin against my body, though it is. I'm so eternally minded and eternally focused and kingdom focused and gospel focused that every action that I do, I filter through the lens of what is God going to think in this moment with this action. How often do you know someone, because I won't say you, do you know someone who at 10 o'clock at night is about to go to bed and their smartphone's whispering secret sins to them sitting on their nightstand? And they're not thinking that thought, what? I do not want to sin against God in this moment. And it's important, gentlemen, that we have such an aggression to go after it with this level of commitment and with this level of focus. Just like Joel did when he said, enough is enough and I'm willing to do whatever it takes. And mind you, I'm not preaching to you. You guys aren't the guys struggling with porn in here. You guys are the men that can be leaders to change our generation, to change our youth. This isn't me preaching at you. This is me imploring you to join us in this fight. Why do I say that? If you go out to our table, there's a statistic card that we did in 2014. They say don't use statistics because it's cool, calm, and calculated, and you're not getting your heartstrings tugged. But guys, those statistics terrify me, and they're all based around the church and Christian men. And they mirror the secular world. And it's my heart and it's my desire to see the church be a place of hope and healing. And you gentlemen are the church. It's awesome to not be the only one on the front lines. So there's some tools and some equipping that I want to give you to think about. Okay? There's no quick fix self-help, like you're going to go out of here a free man, or you're going to go out of here and have the secrets to tell somebody how to gain and retain their sexual integrity. But this is a really great one. Let me just say, if you have a smartphone, raise your hand. No shame. Just, it's okay. Cool. I think almost everybody in here. Yes! So, you have a dumb phone with me as well. And your smartphones can't do that. But my dumb phone can, because it's indestructible. Your smartphones also put some of the most unmentionable, unspeakable things that are sinning against God in your pocket, and you walk around with them all day long, and they're only a button away. That wasn't fleeing for me in my life. And I say this, and I'll say it over and over again. If you are struggling with your sexual integrity, and you take the step to go get yourself a dumb phone, the very first thing that you'll say is, oh, GPS, I won't know where I'm going. I'm going to go buy you a GPS. Grab my business card at the table. I legitimately will come through on that offer. I did that. It's been wonderful. So that is such a powerful tool to flee from sexual temptation. Accountability software is great as well. But guys, Pandora's box has been opened, okay? I hear stories daily of 5-year-olds finding it on a school bus. I'm celebrating my 1-year anniversary next month, actually on the 15th. And the ring bearers of my wedding, a month ago, I get a call, Mr. Nick, can you sit down with my boys because they just encountered hardcore pornography at school, 5 and 6, 5 and 6. And I'm tired of hearing those stories, and I know you are too. And so I implore you gentlemen to step into the fight with me, to be leaders in your churches, to be leaders in your homes, to be leaders with your grandchildren, to take the fight back and push back against the gates of hell. We have a curriculum. It doesn't have to be us. There's a lot of great things out there. But you heard a testimony from a man who was like you 2 years ago who went through our stuff. If you're interested, come by our table. See what we have. The method is quite simple. It says, fill yourself up with Jesus and gospel, so full that you're overflowing and there's no room for this other sin and dross in your life. And then use that model and teach it to others. You're in scripture, you're memorizing scripture, you're in prayer 30 to 45 minutes in front of the Lord every morning. I talked to my mentor about what I do now, and I've been here for about 8 months. And he said, he was asking some questions about the curriculum, the study, our ministry, and he said, he stopped asking questions after he found out that what we're encouraging men to do is simply spend 30 minutes in their Bible in the morning. And he said, anything that's doing that will work. Because you're going to the feet of Jesus and saying, I can't do it without you, and I need you. It's not in my own strength. If you're not going to take me up on my offer and go get a dumb phone, get your technology out of your bedrooms. Advise all of your friends to do the same thing. I will buy you an alarm clock. Man, I'm going to be poor after this speech. I promise you, you'll be more connected with your wife than you've ever been if you're married. I promise you that you will experience greater levels of freedom in your sexual integrity and retaining your sexual integrity. Because if you're a man, you have two eyes and you're breathing, this is something Satan wants to come at you on. So that's a tangible tool that you can walk out of this room and say, honey, brother, dad, I'm not going to have technology in my bedroom. When you go to bed, make sure you see my smartphone sitting right there. It'd be amazing. And it will change so much. An accountability partner. Did you know that there's no example in the Bible of anyone being sent out by themselves? They're always sent in pairs. Why do you think that is? Exactly. We are called to be communal individuals. We are called to bear each other's burdens. In the armor of God, there's nothing for your back. Why do you think that is? Stand back to back, and you're covered, and you're guarded. Everyone turn with me right now to Galatians 5, 16 through 21. All right, Galatians 5, 16 through 21. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the things like these I warn you, as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Scripture never comes back void. And if that doesn't terrify you like it terrifies me, and doesn't ignite a spark inside of you for other men around you, come see me afterwards and we'll have a different conversation. Everyone now turn to Ephesians 5:5. Paul's letters to the churches are full of teachings, admonitions, and instructions around sexual integrity. Ephesians 5:5. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you down in the dirt and keep beating and just saying, gentlemen, that if you're not exercising sexual integrity, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. But there are some words in there that actually say that. And we need to check ourselves, and we need to check our walks, and we need to think about what are the top things plaguing the men in our world today. The men in America, the men in Virginia, the men in my church. And if you can honestly look back at me and say, sexual integrity is not something that my church struggles with, please come talk to me. I will pay you and video you, and I want to use your testimony. Because whatever you're doing, I want the secret. Okay? But if it's true that somewhere in the top five, most likely top three, of the things that the men in your sphere of influence are struggling with is sexual integrity, and they have their whole lives, and it's never gone away, and they're just living with it, I want you concerned for their salvation. I want you bearing up those burdens and their burdens and leading them as men of integrity that you are because you're in this room. And one final verse. Everyone, please turn to Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:5. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Guys, we're called to put it to death. We're called to act like Joel acted. We're called to do whatever it takes and to go on the offensive. And that is literally the calling that we're given by God. We're called to flee. We're never called to withstand. I do not want you withstanding sexual temptation. I want you busting out of the room, butt naked if you have to. Because that's how important it is. I want to hear stories of guys taking showers and all of a sudden they're out front in their house because it's like they didn't have time to put their clothes on. They were struggling and they had to get out. They're on the phone with their friend saying, dude, I need accountability. I need help. I'm struggling. I need to not sin against God in this moment. And I want you gentlemen to carry that flag and that banner of passion and of integrity, not only in your own lives, but in other lives. Because if we're not multiplying and if we're not seeking redemption through the sovereignty of God and the gospel of grace, then what are we here for?